All right, the last time I was here, I gave Scott some homework. And the homework was, what are the four spiritual laws that Bill Bright of Campus Crusade invented and went throughout the 60s and 70s, still is, which is, none of it's true, I don't think. Did you read it?
I just brought it up here.
Does anybody ever remember using that or hearing about it when you were?
Yeah, I do.
Confess your sins.
Huh?
You gotta confess your sins.
No, that wasn't the four spiritual laws. I don't think.
Order, plan for your life. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Those are the only two I remember.
Yeah.
Scott's gotta learn how to run his Antichrist machine.
I remember they were talking about in the 90s, some head coach for the University of Colorado that won the national championship in football. He was involved in that. So they talked a lot about his.
Yeah, a lot of sports figures were involved.
Something Don McCartney or something McCartney to Campus Crusade.
All right, it looks like you have it.
Yeah, so it's switched over. They went international and they were concerned about finding, I guess, Muslims with the crusade thing.
Well, anyway, I don't want to hear about that. I just want to hear the four spiritual laws.
Oh, okay, you just want that. Oh, Lord. I don't have it right now. I have to go find it.
All right, let's go to... We're staying in Timothy's for a while. Yeah, where is it now? Oh, I'm in for it. Never mind. No one knows. Couldn't find it. Second Timothy, chapter 3. We studied this, but I'm going to read it again. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient unto parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this is the scripture that we're going to look at and the implications thereof. Having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, how do you deny the power, the efficacy, the ability of God? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They're Christians, but they deny the power because they return to the world system instead of faith. We deny the power of God because we are now supposed to live under a new authority, a new way of living, where faith only is our manner of life. But here he says these perilous times, people will have a form of godliness, they're Christians, but deny the efficacy thereof.
Does efficacy mean?
Power, ability. So they got to help God out. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
And they got to... When you use your own power, you're denying his power.
Right, and you resurrected the evil one.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at 1 Timothy now. But does everybody really understand it? Does anybody deny the power of God?
Of course.
Hmm?
Yeah, I do.
Of course, by experientially, I know when I'm doing it. When I'm not doing it, it's what it's supposed to be.
But it seems to me that as a believer, the preaching of the cross solves that problem, because you can't deny the power thereof and accept your death. So you continue with a form of godliness, but you still use the world systems for your life. Same, all the things they've talked about many times. You esteem what the world esteems. You only have the label as a Christian, but the rest of your time you just live your normal life. Can you see what that means? You have a form of godliness but deny his power. Now all of us have done it. Maybe some of us still do it. But the only response to seeing that you do it, or when you do it, is repentance. If you don't know you're doing it, then none of this will make any sense.
I can speak for myself. At times I guess my form of godliness is I feel really good when I'm right about something. I feel good when I kind of nail somebody. I repent, but I do at times, I like it.
Well, all of us do it, but it's time that we all repented of it. All right, go 1 Timothy. First one, 1 Timothy 5, I think. No, that's not it. First Timothy 6. Yeah, this is it. This is a warning against false teachers. Verse 1. Let us, as many servants as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor. Anybody there?
Where are we in?
1 Timothy, chapter 6.
All right.
Now, we don't have who these are addressed to, the slave owners, but we do in certain times. Ways, but anyway, let us as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters. If any slaves are under the yoke, could be as any workers are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And so the idea is you have to treat, and he's going specifically here with slaves, but it would easily be people that work for you. The idea that the people that work for you should count themselves working for Jesus Christ, and the people that are bosses should count the ones that work for them as if they were Christ. Does that, you understand how important that is? We run into this here all the time because we have people that treat people, other people badly, and they deny the mercy that they've received. So this is, we're going. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereby cometh envy and strife, railings and evil murmurings, perverse disputers of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such turn away. Now all of us have, most of our lives, even as Christians, perceived that gain was godliness. In other words, if we get what we want, then we gain that, then we suppose that gain is godliness. It's like, and a perfect example of this is, you see all these guys running down, they make a touchdown, or they make a basket, or make a golf shot in there. Well, if they were true believers, if they missed, they'd go that way too. Do you understand what?
How, that'd be great, isn't it?
Yeah, but just think about it. If you still suppose that gain is godliness, then you're doing that. You don't let anybody else know you are. But if you gain this feeling, if you have this feeling, then gain is godliness. And here, Paul calls you a perverse mind. Proud, knowing nothing. Did that communicate to anybody? What?
I was giving God the glory for this sickness I'm carrying.
Yeah, that's pretty big of us, to give God the glory. As if he needed it. Do you understand? Everybody understand this? Because you can easily run over this and just reading scripture and not see what it means. All right.
It just amplifies here the human nature. There's no way around that.
Of course there is. It's your death.
Well, no, human nature. Yeah, you die. That's the way around human nature. But you don't escape it. Everybody's guilty of it.
But if you don't repent of it, then you're in deep doo-doo because the garment's spotted by the flesh.
Yeah, well, that would be the point.
Yeah.
That'd be a minor point. No, it's the biggest point you can have. Because the garment spotted by the flesh, by anything that has to do with the world, is big. It's as big as it gets. And if you don't see that, then you'll continue doing it.
I think what I'm maybe trying to get to is that being a Christian doesn't mean you don't have human nature.
It better mean. That's what death is. It's the death of human nature. But that death, the one that died, the evil one, keeps trying to resurrect himself. That's his job. To find out whether your faith is true faith or whether it's just a label. You better not keep human nature.
That's the fear of God.
Yeah, but the whole idea. If you don't have the fear of God, then none of this will make any sense. But without the fear of God, you'll continue in sin, but grace may abound. All right, let's go to... Is this hitting anybody? Or am I just being holy again?
Loud and clear, because when I went out, I experienced divine, discovered that the stuff.
I can't hear you, and
I'm sorry.
This thing can't hear you either.
I'm used to projecting across the room, so I'm really in reach.
All right. Well, if you can't, then you should sit closer.
Okay.
But don't move now. I don't want you to sit over here now.
Well, all I hear what Gary was saying, and I heard what you said too.
Well, Gary and I were saying the opposite.
I heard both. That's what I said. But what I think he was saying was that, forgive me, so what I feel is that if you die to self, or and you turn your you let's just say you die to self. Then there's this. So through life, you're challenged, and you have temptations, and the evil in returns, which is the carnal, natural mind. But I believe that there's a repentance versus, as you used to say, just saying I'm sorry. There's that element of genuine returning from self instead of just, oh, I'm sorry. And, you know, guy, you caught me.
Yeah. The only way that I can describe this, it took me some time to see the fear of God. I was blissfully running around, putting God in his name and all the things I thought up. And then all of a sudden, I think I told you about it, I was convicted, and I went up to this lake up north of, I can't even remember the lake right now, and I literally laid in my face in the ground until I was ready to die or anything. I mean, but that's the time that I learned the fear of God. Because if you don't have the fear of God, then you don't hear anything. Repentance is meaningless because you just think it's, oh, I'm sorry. The fear of God and repentance have nothing to do with I'm sorry. It has to do with your death. And that's the fear of God. And the fear of God is that you won't be counted among the brethren if the garment is spotted by the flesh. If you don't believe that, then we have a big, big problem. If you don't believe the garment is spotted by the flesh, every time you lean on your own understanding or go back to the world system, then none of this will make any sense. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And you deny the power of God where you lean on your own understanding and the world's ways for your life. There's no way around it. There's no wiggle room. Now the wiggle room, if the believers haven't heard the preaching of the cross, they have all kinds of wiggle room. And God will honor that. That's why that's the people that are still in the world, they're still in the world system, but their sin is forgiven. That's the one thing they know. And that's huge. But that means you're still in the world. You haven't gone through you haven't left the world. You've been a Christian in the world. And if that's where you want to stay, that's fine. But you shouldn't listen to me if that's where you want to stay. Because here, the preaching of the cross is, as far as I know, the total. There's never anything like how-tos. This is the way you do that. It's the preaching of the cross. You learn and see the fear of God, and it becomes manifest in you as a believer. And you'd rather die than return to the world system for anything, because you know you're grieving the heart of God. Does that communicate? But if you continue to justify yourselves, you haven't repented. Remember, that evil one, he rose out of the water. But then what happened? Then the second time he rose out of the ground, and he spoke like a lamb, but he still had the two horns, he became a believer. That's what that means. Go to Revelation. If you don't see this, if this doesn't have any meaning, then go to Revelation 13. Verse 11. Remember the first beast. Let's go there real quick. The first beast, and chapter 1, verse 1 of 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon the heads the name of blasphemy. And you know that's the same beast he saw, which was the harlot, the child of the harlot, in verse 7, in chapter 17. But now now we're at verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Not the water now, it came out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. To speak here means both, not only the speaking of eternally, outwardly, but the speaking of it inwardly. Now he has 2 horns like a lamb. He's become a believer.
But inwardly is still the beast.
Inwardly he's still the beast. But he's now outwardly the beast because he's accepted Jesus. So he's like a lamb, but he's still speaking with the voice of the dragon. Because he's still speaking the world system. Do you see this? All right, go to... What did I say go to just before that?
Timothy?
No, we already got out of Timothy. Oh, we got out of Thessalonians. Did you mark it down, Pete? It's like Ephesians or Colossians or...
I jumped out when we were in Timothy.
Oh, now it is. I found it. It's Ephesians. If I ever have to change the Bible where things are on different pages, you know, because I remember things by where they are on the page. Yeah, that's stupid. In verse 7.
Where did we go?
Philippians 3, starting in verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss to Christ. Philippians 3, verse 7. And this is a direct relationship to what we just studied.
That's not.
Hmm?
Ephesians 3, verse 7?
No, Philippians 3.
Yeah.
Now is everybody there that's gone? Before the first 6 verses are all about his credentials as a man of God. But then he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Now that has to be written in our foreheads. Whatever thing is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Can you hear those words? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dumb, that they may win Christ. Now this isn't just reading about a hero in the Bible, it's reading about your life if you have any interest in the cross. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith alone. That means there's no part of your life where you're not living by faith alone. That I may know him, hallelujah, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And we go on. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, he'd been a believer here for over 30 years. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And the only way you attain as to the resurrection of the dead is your death. And it's not easy. This is why that old prayer that John, I think John found it, but anyway, it's, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee, I have no will but thine, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting or neglecting those things which are behind. In other words, from this point, all your past life, and that's true every second, from this point, all of your past life, neglecting the things which are behind, and watching, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, fully tested, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, we too, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. That each one of us would have the same mind. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Now he says that many times. Be a follower of me. The only thing he was talking about being a follower of was Paul's faith. I too say, be a follower of me. The only thing that I have that's worth anything is living by faith.
Amen.
Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, their appetites, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things. For our manner of life is in heaven, etc., etc. This is the preaching of the cross. It's not preaching about the cross, it's living the cross. That means living your death. The only life you have is Christ in you. But that, he's not going to cooperate with you. He's not going to have me and Jesus. As long as you're in the picture, he takes the lowest seat. Well, actually, you put him in the dungeon of your temple. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And he can't see sin. These are the hardest sayings you can hear, because it costs you everything. Any response?
Amen.
Amen. Take it big time.